I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. I'm very pleased to have Sean Holman on the program now. He is the award-winning and highly respected journalist based out of the provincial capital and the publisher and editor of the indispensable Public Eye Online. He also hosts a radio program on CFAX in Victoria, Sundays at 8 to 10 a.m. He has won a Jack Webster Award for his investigative journalism and has been published in the Times Colonist, the 24 Hours paper, the Globe and Mail, and in the last campaign did a stint at the Vancouver Sun. We'll discuss the provincial election and referendum campaigns thus far. The website is publiceyeonline.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Sean Holman. Good morning, Mr. Holman.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem whatsoever. It's my pleasure.
How many campaigns has this been for you?
This is actually only my second provincial election campaign, but even that makes me feel a bit old, I must admit. It's a rather strange thing to think that I've now covered two governments in this province, although there certainly are other journalists down at the press gallery who have covered many more other than myself.
I had Rafe Mayer on this morning, and he was saying that this is the most important election in his lifetime. How does this stack up, do you think, from your observations of the campaign thus far?
I'm not sure I would necessarily say that this is the most important election of my lifetime. What I would say is that this election has been horribly bizarre, I would say, is probably the best way of characterizing it. One of the similarities between this election and the last election is that the NDP simply don't seem to have any kind of coherent message, any kind of coherent narrative that they're taking out on the campaign trail. And I think that's one of the principal reasons they lost the last election. By comparison, Liberals in 2005 had a whole entire storyline laid out for British Columbians. They said, look, you know, new Democrats were in power. We went through some difficult times. And because we went through some difficult times under the new Democrats, we had to make some difficult decisions in government. But now those difficult decisions are over. We are entering a golden decade where British Columbians are going to feast on ambrosia and nectar. If you vote for us on election day, we'll take you into that golden decade, that new golden era. That was the message that they had in the last campaign. And as someone who is wiser than myself once told me, the people who tell the best stories in our society win. So I really do think that's probably one of the primary reasons why the Liberals won the last election. I don't think they have as coherent a narrative this time around, but the New Democrats certainly are in the same position as they were in the last election, which is completely lacking a narrative.
And whose fault is that? Is that Carol James?
Well, ultimately, the buck stops with the leader, doesn't it? And the leader obviously has various different advisors, and some people may point fingers at those advisors and may say, well, it's their fault. But ultimately, the leader is responsible for the kind of people that she picked to surround herself with. Look, I think Carol James is a nice person. I think she does have good intentions, but I'm not so sure that she and those who around her have the best political instincts in the world.
And it seems to me that the environment, that issue, which should be an NDP sort of issue, has run away from them, hasn't it? I mean, Gordon Campbell's running as the Green Premier.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, to a certain extent, part of the problem is that the New Democrats did not really adequately respond well on day one to an attack that was really organized by three environmental organizations, Pembina Institute, David Suzuki Foundation, as well as Forest Ethics. This was on the holiday Monday right before the writ was dropped. These organizations came out attacking the New Democrats' climate change plank, praising the Liberals' climate change policies even before they had an opportunity to actually take a look at what was in the Liberals' platform. And the New Democrats were completely caught off guard by this, had no capacity to roll out any kind of third-party validators to support their position. I had no capacity for a quick response, actually made things worse by suggesting that it was the entire environmental movement that felt this way, when in fact it was only three organizations. And really, that day one stumble, or I guess day before stumble, has really been indicative of how they've run this entire campaign.
You talked about Carol James. You say that she's a nice person, that she's got good intentions. You've covered her for a number of years now. What do you think people think about her? Like, I mean, what's the perception that people have of her?
I'm not really sure. You know, she says she's a very practical person, and I think that's true. A lot of people think she's a very nice person. I think that's true as well. And I'm sure she's a very kind person as well. But I don't necessarily think that she has displayed the kind of leadership that provides some kind of visionary narrative arc for the New Democrats. I think, you know, for example, she would probably be a capable cabinet minister if the New Democrats were ever to form government again. You know, I think she would probably do good in that capacity, but I'm not really sure whether or not she's well-suited to being the leader of a party. And, you know, she was to a certain extent a bit of an unlikely choice, although the obvious choice at the same time, when the provincial New Democrats ran their last leadership race. You know, there was a whole bunch of sort of unlikely people up on the stage. Leonard Krogh, Niels Jensen, Craig Keating, and herself, I think, were the big names, such as they were, and she stood tall among the dwarfs, no disrespect intended to all of the candidates. So, the New Democrats have been sort of saddled with this situation, but, you know, on the other hand, they chose it themselves and they haven't done anything to remedy it.
Are there people in the wings sort of waiting?
Oh, there's always people in the wings, you know, waiting. That is the nature of politics, and that is the nature of any political party. There's always people who are going to try to, you know, seize the leadership. But that being said, it has to be seen as being a leadership worth seizing. That was partly the problem during the last leadership race. You didn't have that many people who were actually willing to step up to the plate. You know, the NDP was in rough shape, and as a result, they got people who were not the cream of the crop running for that leadership position. And, you know, they essentially got rid of, you know, one of their most talented and capable assets, Joy McPhail, who is the interim leader. You know, I still look back on the days when Joy McPhail was in the legislature and say, you know, this one woman, and I do realize that Jenny Kwan was there as well, but really this one woman did a better job of holding government to account than an entire caucus full of New Democrats, and I wonder what that says.
Now, let's move to the other side. What do people think of Gordon Campbell? I think one of the things that I've noticed is that people seem to know him better. Is that your sense?
I'm not really sure if anyone knows Gordon Campbell. I was reading an interview that was done with Gordon Campbell's mom, who has since passed away. But this is an interview that was done quite some time ago by the Vancouver Sun's Pete McMartin. And in that, Gordon Campbell's mom said, who really knows Gordon Campbell? That she didn't know Gordon Campbell. And I think the premier remains something of an enigma. I'm not sure that I say that Carol James isn't particularly well suited to be leader of a political party. I'm not sure whether or not Gordon Campbell is particularly well suited to be a elected official. I think he does have some interesting ideas. He certainly has a certain curiosity about himself, and I think that serves him well, although the fact that he seems to also, you know, flitter and flutter from one idea to another is not a laudable quality. But nevertheless, he does have some instincts in that area. But I think that he doesn't really have a very good appreciation for the elected process, the democratic process. He's shown himself to be pretty technocratic, pretty bureaucratic. Perhaps I think in another time he might have been better off as a deputy minister, rather than an elected leader.
Could he be a lobbyist?
Or maybe a lobbyist.
Yeah.
I should say that the campaign isn't entirely hopeless, I should say, for the New Democrats. We in the media bubble, we in the mainstream media bubble, and those of us who follow politics very closely take a look at the various different campaigns and say, well, the New Democrats have a lot of negative momentum right now. We've seen them stumbling and fumbling all around. But, there's, I think, a lot of latent dissatisfaction out there among voters with the way the Campbell administration has behaved, with some of the things the Campbell administration has done. And we could all be surprised on Election Day. I'm willing to think that I might be surprised on Election Day. But at the present moment in time, I don't see anything that's going to change the game. In terms of the New Democrats' negative momentum, and that means probably the best bet right now is that the Liberals are going to be returning to power.
You've done a lot of legwork on the Patrick Kinsella story.
Yes, I have.
And people in the journalism community admire you a great deal for all the work that you've done. Do you think the public has paid attention to that? Do you think they know the story, that this will matter on May 12th, say?
I think you'd probably have to ask the public that question. Journalists are horrible at assessing their own stories. And I don't know whether or not this is an issue, this is a story that resonates. I obviously, because I've devoted a lot of time to it, think it's an important story. But will the electorate care on when they go to the ballot box? I don't know.
The STV referendum, how does this look so far to you?
The one interesting comment that I would make on STV is this. I think that there might, and I stress might, be a possibility that we could indeed see a change in the electoral system. And the reason I give is this. If the general public is really dissatisfied with all of the political parties out there, the major political parties, New Democrats, Liberals, but they know they have to vote for one of them, they might hold their nose, cast their ballot for the Liberals or the New Democrats, but then they might say, I really don't like either of these choices. So as a protest, I'm going to screw them all by voting for STV. That's a possibility.
We voted for this 4 years ago, and my sense is nothing has changed in terms of the system that they're proposing. So, but still, not too many people know what the what they're voting for.
Yeah.
And whose fault is that?
I'm not sure if it's anyone's fault per se. And I'm not really sure whether or not it's particularly important for Britain to understand the nuances of the STV system as those who are opposed to it would suggest. I think that what's important is the result of that system. And I don't know if people even understand that, though.
But is it your sense, though, that people are dissatisfied, these people that are dissatisfied, that they'll show up on the 12th?
They might, or they might just say, I'm not going to show up at all, right? These might be the great non-voters out there So, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to say. It is really hard to say the way this will play. What I find interesting is, of course, the no side has been spending a lot of money, is spending a lot of money on advertising. I haven't seen much money come out from the yes side of the equation when it comes to advertising. Presumably they have some kind of television campaign in the can, but maybe they don't. They seem to be doing a lot of grassroots effort right now. I'm not sure whether or not that pays off. We'll have to see.
Will the Greens be a factor in this campaign?
Will the Greens be a factor? Maybe, maybe not. I don't see them having a lot of a substantive campaign machine on the ground right now, but I think they do have candidates who are capable and, to a certain extent, well-known. Stephen Reeves, for example, Damien Kettlewell is another good example. And I think if Jane Stirk, the Green leader, does well in the debates, they could capitalize on that. But that being said, though, Elizabeth May did okay in the federal debates, but that didn't seem to make a difference on election day. So I really don't know how the Greens are going to do. I seem to be saying that a lot. I don't know how things are going to play out on election day, but it really has been a very, very odd campaign.
And finally, there was a radio debate this week, today, and there's a television debate coming up in the next week or so. Have they mattered? Will they matter?
Well, you know, I watched the radio debate. We live in a strange era. Watched the radio debate today. You know, there wasn't a lot of snap and dazzle to that particular debate. At least I didn't think so. So that wasn't a game changer. There could be end up being a lot of pressure on Carol James for the final debate. But that being said, you know, I'm really not sure whether or not we're going to see any particular sparks there either. And in that case, I think neither debate may matter. But what could matter is the resumption of the Bazzie Burke trial proceedings. That could matter, but that's a roll of the dice that I think the New Democrats are counting on, and it's always bad to count on pure luck and chance to get yourself in government.
It worked for Stephen Harper, though, didn't it?
It did, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when do we see a resumption of that trial?
I believe, gosh, I would have to check, but it is in the early days of May.
Sean, it's been a pleasure having you on. I appreciate this, and perhaps we can call on you throughout the campaign later on.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Joe.
Thanks very much. The website is publiceyeonline.com. Sean Holman on the line. I'm Joseph Plana.